Okay, for the next few weeks, we'll be going through this chapter of Mark, Mark 10. 10th chapter marks a critical time of transition in the life of Jesus. It's the time between the transfiguration, that incredible mountaintop experience where the disciples saw Jesus with Moses, and his triumphal entry into Jerusalem just before Easter. It's this journey from one place to the next. On that mountaintop, Peter has the insight and the ability to declare that, yes, Jesus is the Son of God. And then Jesus has begun to talk about what it means to follow him. And the journey that follows from that point to Jerusalem is a series of teachings about discipleship, which is a concept Jesus says conflicts with the perspectives and priorities of the world. Discipleship is about living into the kingdom of God, about turning the world upside down. The teachings in Mark 10 each reveal a different way that God flips culture on its head, requiring us to live upside down, or as it says in the Cotton Patch Gospel, to get right side up, turn upside down. And the passage we focus on today is often associated with easygoing scenes of Jesus surrounded by adoring children who sit at his feet while he lovingly cares for them. It comes right after this talk about divorce, which in its own way is radical, saying that women have rights in a marriage. And then he talks about these children coming to him. Now, you've all seen that scene. You've seen it in paintings, perhaps on stained glass in some churches. Anytime I think of this, it reminds me of a story a friend told me in seminary of a pastor who was teaching a confirmation class. Part of the class was to take the students on a tour of the sanctuary. And as they went around, the pastor would ask her students if they knew what the stories in the stained glass window were, what stories the glass was telling. When they got to this scene of Jesus and the children, one student jumped right up and said, "Oh, I know what story this is. It's Jesus heading up the preschool." And that's a popular interpretation even today. It's an interpretation we're comfortable with, this kind and gentle Jesus, loving and caring for all the children and the world. It's a lovely, lovely story when it's told that way, but when we tell it that way, it only goes so far, and it misses something deeper, a deeper point that the author of Mark is trying to make. Because this is not only a story about the love Jesus has for children, but it is also a radical story that flies in the face of the way things were at the time. And that communicates a controversial, countercultural truth about the kingdom of God. See, in the ancient Roman world, there was a clearly understood order of things, a hierarchy of power and authority. And friends, there was no exception. At the very top, of course, was Caesar. Caesar was followed by members of the upper classes who included senators and the wealthy. Then below that were the lower classes made up of commoners. And this was most of the families in the empire. Then even families had their own order, their own hierarchy, led by the father who was in charge and not to be questioned, with women and slaves below them. And please hear that, women and slaves occupy about the same place in this culture. And then finally we get to the children. Below even the slaves, they had no right whatsoever in society and were often treated as commodities or worse. So women are at the mercy of men, and thus the teachings on divorce, because at that point in time, women were a commodity as well. The husband basically owned them and could get rid of them whenever they wanted. And Jesus said, that ain't right. But when we get to the children, think about this. When a child was born out of wedlock or with a physical or mental handicap, the father had the right to give the child away or worse. A child's value was primarily economic, as workers in father's business, as heirs to the father's holdings. It was not a sentimental thing at all. There was no sentimental sense of the way we view children today. So here is Jesus telling his listeners to let the children come to him, for they are the ones to whom the kingdom of heaven belongs. Using few words, Jesus takes the whole Roman culture, the established traditional way of doing things, and flips it on its head. And those at the bottom are now at the top. Those disregarded by society are now favored by God. Those on the outside are welcomed into the kingdom. When you think about the story in that way, it stretches it out, and it includes anyone who has been shunned by society due to economic injustice and discrimination, the outcasts, mentally ill, the homeless, the immigrants, legal or illegal. And I am sure you could name many more right here in our own community. You know the ones who aren't welcome at the fancy clubs and dinners, ones who aren't invited to sit at the table where decisions are made, ones who don't look like us or worship like us or whatever it may be that keeps us separate from one another. This little story about Jesus and children is a big story, and it teaches us that everyone is welcome at the table of God. Even so, it's still a little story about Jesus and children, and we've got to remember that too, especially in these times. Now, you may be tempted to say, well, children have it great today. They're loved and valued and protected. And friends, I wish that were true. But when you look at the real facts, they don't support that belief at all. According to a study done by the Children's Defense Fund, the following facts are still true. 1 in 5 children lives below the poverty line. That's 16.1 million American children, the most vulnerable among us. Nearly 1.2 million public school students is homeless. That's a 73% growth since 2008. 10 years, 73%. More than 1 in 9 children lack consistent access to adequate food. That's not worldwide, that's just in this country. In this country today, a child is abused every 47 seconds. That means 13 children, just while I'm preaching. More than 4,000 children will be arrested today. That's about one every 21 seconds. And close to 2,000 children are serving sentences in adult prisons. And this is the one that scares me the most. In 1 year, guns killed close to 2,694 children and teens and injured 15,576. Guns killed more infants, toddlers, and preschoolers than law enforcement officers in the line of duty. These are facts. This is not fake news, friends. This is not some political agenda. This is the truth. I think we can all agree. I pray that we can all agree that children deserve better than this, whatever our politics may be. It is no child's fault what circumstances they are born into. And no matter how we may judge their parents' choices, we cannot punish the children who have no control over much of anything. When we read the words, "Let the children come," it has to compel us as the people of God to look for a way that we can become a prophetic agent for change and address these staggering statistics, these incredible concerns that seem to be getting ignored all around us in the name of, I don't know, but whatever it is, I certainly don't understand it. And it breaks my heart to see what it does to the lives of the innocents. When we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," it isn't something we're hoping God will do. It is a call for us to work actively to invert the power structures of our country today, to turn the world upside down, and to ensure the life and health and vitality of the least among us, most especially our children. As you can probably imagine, there's a lot of cotton patch gospel around my home and my life these days. So because it's in the forefront of my mind, I will quote one more time from it. The character of Jesus is speaking, and he is asked, what makes him any different from all the teachings of the church at the time? And he responds thusly, nothing, nothing at all, except I'm taking it a bit further. He says, they tell you an eye for an eye, and then they tell you a tooth for a tooth, and then they say, this is God's way. But I'm here to tell you the truth. We live in a time where we lean so hard on the idea of justice and fairness that it's almost impossible to hear Jesus say there's a better way. The kingdom of God doesn't work that way at all. The kingdom of God isn't about justice and fairness. It's about love and enough for everyone, and everyone is welcome. We have to turn it around. We can turn it around if we begin right now, right here. If we just get moving. Amen.